injection you got. It's a nanite explosive. The size of a rice grain, but as powerful as a hand grenade. You disobey me, you die. You try to escape, you die. You otherwise irritate or vex me, and guess what? You die.
I'm known to be quite vexing. I'm just forewarning you.
Lady, shut up! This is the deal. You're going somewhere very bad to do something that'll get you killed. But until that happens, you're my problem.
So was that like a pep talk?
Yeah, it was pep talk.
Grab what you need for a fight. We're wheels up in 10.
You might want to work on your team motivation thing. You heard of Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
He's like the gold standard. Okay? Triangle, bitch. Study.
Welcome everybody to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics. And you know what we're talking about today. It's Suicide Squad. Man, today has been a crazy day. It's always crazy when a major movie comes out and the reviews hit that day. Like today, we were allowed to post our reviews. Some had already been up for a while. As usual, I avoid everybody else's reviews until I post my own. But the response, of course, has been tremendous. Not tremendously good in a lot of cases. The reviews for the movie have not been very good. In fact, that Rotten Tomatoes right now, I believe it's at 35%. Hopefully my review helped it a little bit. But who knows? But yes, the buzz on Suicide Squad has not been good. And it's causing all kinds of stories to leak out. We already knew about reshoots that took place a while back. If you follow punchdrunkcritics.com, then you have read all about that. More details have come out about that just today. So, yeah, things are not looking good for Warner Brothers and Suicide Squad right now. Now, the upshot is that it's expected to do really, really well this opening weekend. It's supposed to be doing about $140 million, which is extraordinary, a great start. Now, does that mean that it's going to continue to do those kinds of numbers? That's the big question. I mean, you look at Batman vs Superman, which came out in March, and it opened with $166 million, which is also great. How did it end up doing? It only doubled that domestically. So it opened awesome. And then it just tanked from there on out. Yeah, it still made $870 million total worldwide. But, you know, it's Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. You expect a billion. And at least Warner Brothers does. Now, Warner Brothers is trying to correct the ship. And we're going to talk about whether or not Suicide Squad does that for them. And we're also going to talk about, you know, the impact that negative reviews have on movies, you know, because what's going on with Suicide Squad, you know, I'm going to talk about it a little bit with Jeff Lyles in a little while, but when the early reviews come out and they're negative, people don't just judge the movies for themselves anymore. They don't. This is the negative impact of sites like Rotten Tomatoes, which, you know, which I am a member of, so I'm a part of that. But the impact is that people just will go and check out Rotten Tomatoes' score, and if it's not high, then they just won't go. They won't judge for themselves. That's the impact. And we're going to talk about that a little bit with Jeff Lyles, who I believe is also on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's what we got going on today. But let's go ahead and jump right into that. Right, enough of me rambling about Suicide Squad. Let's talk about Suicide Squad with Jeff Lyles of Lyles Movie Files. My big brother, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How are we doing?
I'm good. Did you just finish watching Big Brother?
Yeah, I did. I watched that trash. This season is so bad. So bad.
Yeah, it's not the best season so far. I find myself rooting for James and Nicole, and who's
Nicole,
the girl that James? Who's the girl
Natalie.
That James likes? Natalie. I like
the cheerleader.
Yeah, she's so goddamn fun that I can't help but root for her.
Yeah.
It's pretty goddamn hot. So, so I can't help but root for it. But yeah, this has not been the best season. That show needs an overhaul. I mean, as much as I'll always watch it every summer, it still needs an overhaul, I think. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Tremendously.
Yes.
No more recruits. People who actually watch
yes.
the show no one extend their fake careers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. We could do a whole show on my gripes of the season.
All right, let's talk about Suicide Squad. Now, Suicide Squad opens on Friday. Reviews have been out for a little while. Here in D.C., we were able to put ours up today. And I have received a lot of responses from my review already. People have been anxiously awaiting what my thoughts on the movie were. And here's the way I put it. You know, basically, this movie's not the disaster that a lot of people I know who had already seen it were trying to make it to be. It's not a disaster. But I feel like I'm an outsider because I also didn't feel that Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman were disasters. I felt like they were perfectly fine. I enjoyed them while acknowledging their problems. And I feel the same way about Suicide Squad in that it has a ton of problems. The villain is awful. It's essentially the Enchantress, played by Cara Delevingne. The villain is weak. The plot is razor thin. And tonally, it's a little bit awkward at times, which I kind of expected, considering it's a movie about villains, and you have to make it so that we care about these villains. So I understand why it's a little bit tonally awkward. But for me, seeing this ragtag group all together was more than enough to make it entertaining. From Deadshot, who's, you know, Will Smith being Will Smith under the cover of Big Deadshot, which is fine.
Dude, he's got a beard.
Exactly.
Important.
And they even threw in a little bit of Pursuit of Happiness for him in there, too, by having him have a kid to to anguish over. It felt like I was watching Pursuit of Happiness for a minute. And Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Jay Courtney as Boomerang, who I thought stole the show for me. And also Jared Leto's Joker, which I appreciate his performance. And we could talk about that in a little bit as well. But to me, that group of characters and those actors and those, like I said, those villains together was enough to make me have a lot of fun with this, even if I recognize that the narrative has some problems. But what did you overall think about Suicide Squad? Because I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it. So what did you think?
Well, I'm right there with you holding the flag and trying to raise it up from its depths of 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. I enjoyed it. Like you, I was right there with Man of Steel. I liked Batman versus Superman, the theatrical version, but I love the home video release that they should have put out in the first place.
Ultimate cut.
Oh man, the ultimate cut's so much better.
I just watched it on Sunday, like right because I was getting ready for this, so I watched Man of Steel and BVS back to back. And it was the first time I'd watched the ultimate cut of BVS, and I was like, damn, it is a lot better. Yes, it's still crazy long, but it's so much better.
It is. It's so funny because it's like, you know, the first one's long anyway, that an extra 30 minutes doesn't feel so much longer. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
I've committed to it. It's like watching the Lord of the Rings movie. It's an extended edition. But yeah, I like Suicide Squad. I thought it was, I guess this is the difference between releasing a Suicide Squad movie and the Avengers, or on the DC side, releasing a Justice League movie, or even a Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are fringe characters. I mean, they're probably lower on the mainstream scale than Guardians of the Galaxy were in terms of DC groups that they could put out in the movie. So they were always kind of this weird choice for the next up. But I thought they did that concept well. I mean, they don't have a ton of awesome villains to draw from. So I knew that was going to be a sketchy point, and I was kind of worried Joker was going to just overrun the movie to compensate. But I thought that was, I don't know, outside of toning down some humor and coming up with better CGI bad guys who don't look like fruit berries.
Yeah, those are not, I called them, they looked like old grapes.
they were terrible. So bad. I was like, this is like 1990 Super NES video game villain. Like, oh. Yeah. Outside of that, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, and I actually think I think it was an inspired move for having to have them use the Suicide Squad as the first real branching out of the extended DC universe. It was smart because you get to see a totally different aspect of the DC universe that's still connected. We see Batman, who has a more prominent role in this movie than I think people expect. He's not in it a lot,
yeah.
But his part is big. And there's another Justice Leaguer that shows up in the movie too. Most people probably already know who it is, but I'll just leave it at that. Who shows up for the exact scene he should show up in. Is the best way I would put it.
Yep.
Exactly.
Nothing else needed. Right then.
Right. Exactly. He didn't need to do anything else. That was enough. But I think that was smart for them to do that, to show us a different side of the DC universe, and not just bring us more heroes. I don't need to see a bunch of C-list and F-list heroes. I want to see what other corners of DC look like. So I thought this was a smart move on their part.
And one thing I really liked was how they used it to create a natural progression to Justice League. Like, okay, this way didn't work, so let's try this next way without spoiling too much.
Right.
But I liked how that built up to Justice League.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And, and what I was thinking about was how close to the comics this really was. Julian, our friend Julian Lytle, we were talking about it because we were both big Suicide Squad fans. The comic by John Ostrander, who gets a shout out in the movie, John Ostrander, which I feel so keep an eye out for that. And it really is just like the comic in terms of tone. The comic's tone was always a little bit off, was always a little bit peculiar. And the movie's like that too. It's like I said, there are some times where the tones don't quite gel. There are times where it's extremely rebellious and rambunctious, and other times where it's kind of grim and dark. And sometimes it feels a little bit forced. Like, you're like, okay, that doesn't quite fit right there.
Joking. Every time Killer
Croc. We had a lot of fun talking about Killer Croc.
Yeah. He was the one guy, the tone didn't work. Yeah, his tone was way off.
They did not just make Killer Croc a black guy. They made him, and as I said, and this will make me have to up the rating on this episode, but I don't care. I said they didn't just make him a black guy; they made him a nigga. And they did.
Especially
that final scene.
That caps everything off.
Yeah, but what Suicide Squad does is it introduces us to it's sort of the paranormal side with Enchantress, so we get a little bit of that. We haven't seen that in the DCU yet. And characters like Killer Croc, and El Diablo, who have legitimate superpowers, guys who have like real metahuman powers, besides just Superman. We're seeing those characters now, not just really skilled people like Batman. So I like that it was able to do that. And this is coming ahead of the Wonder Woman movie and all that stuff. So we're seeing a branching out of the universe. I think that was really smart. Go ahead.
Well, I like that they did that and they didn't act like this is the first time these superpowered, as they call them, metahumans were around. They've been kind of aware of these guys, but now they finally have a way to make use of them. And so now they're going to tap into this resource. They're kind of making like a meta-human arms race, and we got to get to them before this country does, and we got to use them to do all this kind of, underhanded, shady stuff that we couldn't do with our flag-waving Superman, but we can do it with these guys. And
I like how Superman has been sort of the impetus for everything that's happened.
Yeah.
People criticize Man of Steel for the movie that it was, essentially being an origin story, I thought that was perfect because this is exactly what I was hoping it was going to do. Batman, there were three problems with Batman vs. Superman. It sprang organically from what happened in Man of Steel. And then this movie does as well. You know, you get to see what the government's reaction to a character like Superman existing really would be. We didn't get that in any other movie, really. I mean, I like that.
No.
I think there's a...
Everybody just took it like at face value. Oh, okay, Tony Stark's Iron Man. Great, okay. And Captain America.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, there's a guy with a hammer. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We're with it.
Yeah.
That felt,
you know,
that's the one thing where DC's had this super advantage. Like, for everybody complaining about how slow Batman vs. Superman was, it was like, that's exactly how it would be if a guy was super powered. Everybody would be trying to come down on him. Half the people would love him, and the other half would be, well, what's he doing? What's he thinking? And I understood why he was bummed out. And I like that now they're setting up a way for when he does come back, I'm sorry if I spoiled anything for anyone, that he's not going to be the same sad character. He's going to be like, okay, they needed me, they missed me, and I can come back and enjoy and actually be Superman that I guess some people really, really missed and thought was lacking so far. And this was another way to kind of show, oh, gosh, we really miss Superman because this is the other side of this. So I like how they're building their universe.
Yeah, me too. Did you feel, with Suicide Squad, did you feel at any point that they were, you know, kind of shoving it down your throat that these are bad characters, that these are bad guys? Because that seems like one of the common complaints that I've heard about the movie. Did you feel that way?
I felt more like they were being sarcastic. Like, oh, yeah, you know, say hello to the bad guy kind of thing. Yeah, we're not the good guys, we're the bad guys. It just kind of, you know, we're not heroes, but we're just these expendable guys who it doesn't matter to anybody because we're the bad guys. I didn't feel like it was getting clubbed over the head, but I felt like maybe they said it a couple too many times. But that had a lot to do with a lot of Deadshot, where he was talking way too much for me. But I know why. So.
Yeah, you kind of
have
Will
to.
Smith
in our movie,
you kind of
have
to.
Quiet, so. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's why he doesn't wear that mask very often either. Because
I was shocked he wore it more than once. I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
That was
exactly.
Because the mask is cool. I mean, the mask is, that's what makes his outfit so cool. They can do whatever else with the designs is the same, but the mask is what really sets it off. Like, this dude looks like he will kill you. And and I was, that beard was bothering me, but
Yeah, and they
had
did
a rough
life
and didn't share.
They did make Deadshot the exact badass he should have been. I mean, Deadshot was really, really cool in this movie. Just as Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn was. I mean, there's a reason why people are so excited for her, and why she's getting her own movie, because she is sort of the standout in the film. She's so totally bonkers. It's kind of like she wandered in from some Gonzo film. Into this one, which is good. I mean, everybody's kind of crazy in this movie, but she still stands out as crazier than the rest.
She's really crazy.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's
really
great.
That's exactly how Harley Quinn should be in a live action interpretation of the character. She was all over the place. You never knew what she was going to say, what she was going to do. But I like that her overall character motivation was exactly how it should be. I won't spoil too much on that, but I just liked how her focus was what it should have been with every portrayal we've seen her, whether cartoon, comic books, or now the movie.
And I can't believe I read a couple of reviews where people were upset that she was so sexualized in the film. Have you ever seen Harley Quinn before?
Oh my gosh.
She's always sexualized. I mean, she's sexualized even back in the animated series when she first debuted. I mean, she's always sexualized. And that's just kind of how she is. I mean, I don't understand why he'd be upset by it, especially with Margot Robbie in the suit.
Sure.
I'm definitely not upset that she's sexualized.
Yeah.
They should sexualize her more, in my opinion.
It was weird that she got this because it's like, yeah, she's crazy. So why wouldn't she dress like that? Because she doesn't care. And it was weird because there have been so many other superhero movies where, I mean, I don't remember too many complaints about Psylocke's outfit, and that's pretty much the same deal. I mean, and she had this window that was totally unnecessary in her costume, and that wasn't even like the comic book. But
and
her
outfit—it's essential. It's essential to Harley Quinn. I mean, it's all part of who she is. She's not superpowered or anything like that. One of her things, she's just totally unhinged. But she's smart enough to know that her looks and her sexuality is a weapon, and she uses it. I mean, I don't understand why. But then again, this is why I hate reading reviews of other critics, especially when it comes to superhero movies. I hate it. Because it's a lot of people who don't seem to know anything. And I'm not saying they have to go and read every issue of Suicide Squad to understand who these characters are. I would never expect that. In fact, the movie always needs to
stand on itself. But, you know, it's like when they complain about the Bond babes being overly sexualized, too. Oh, wait. That doesn't happen. they're perfectly disposable, but Harley Quinn, who uses it as a weapon, as a distraction, that's a problem. It's weird.
I need to stop reading reviews in general. I mean, I normally don't. normally I don't. I mean, it's one of my things. I don't like reading other people's reviews. I don't even read my own reviews, to be honest. Once I write them, they're just kind of gone and out of mind. But on occasion, I'll check out other people, what other people say. Usually when it comes to movies like this, you know, the superhero movies that I have a particular affinity for or a particular knowledge of, I like to read the reviews of critics I know don't have it, don't have that level of knowledge, just to see what they say, and just not to judge them, but just to see what they say and what their take on it is from somebody who's not, you know, familiar with it like I am. And, you know, on occasion you get into situations like this where it's like, oh, Harley Quinn, why is she so sexualized? Like, come on, man. But come on.
Of all the problems you could have with the movie, her outfit shouldn't be the main thing.
I know. Should not be the issue. What did you think of Jared Leto's Joker? Because this is a big topic of discussion for people, of course.
I could not wait to get to this part. Okay, so when I saw that first design, I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be the worst Joker ever. Why does he have tattoos? Why does he have a grill? This is going to be terrible. And they're going to make him the focus of this whole movie, and it's going to be terrible because of it. And Joker is going to be a Joker movie, not a Suicide Squad movie. And from the second he showed up, I was like, oh wow, they actually got the comic book version of Joker right. He was totally unpredictable, and you had no clue what he was going to do. He was scary, and he just seemed as unhinged as Harley Quinn was. He was like 10 times as bad, and I just liked the way he played it. And it was crazy because I knew they were going to just overwhelm the movie with him, but when it was over, I wanted to see more of his take on Joker. I thought that was a big win because that was a character I knew they were going to. I mean, we've seen Joker in so many of these live-action movies, but I felt like, wow, there's a whole different avenue and road for him to play in with his take on it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another reason. I definitely want to see it. You know, we got to see the Joker whenever Ben Affleck does his Batman movie. But look, this is another reason why I wanted to look at other people's reviews. Because you know, Jared Leto, in my review, I compared Jared Leto's Joker, or at least his signing on to play the Joker, similar to when Pete Myers had to replace Michael Jordan as shooting guard for the Bulls. And it was after he retired, and you were like, well, this is doomed for failure. You know, this is doomed for failure. No matter how good he might be, it's never going to be good enough. It's just not the way it goes. It's just not the way it can ever be. He could have scored 30 points a game, and people would have been like, yeah, but he ain't Jordan. So
Jordan would have scored 35.
Yeah, and people would have been like, man, where's Jordan at? So, I mean, so that's kind of, and that's exactly how it's played out. People have done nothing but compare Leto to Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson and even Caesar freaking Romero. I mean, it's just like, come on, y'all. I mean, but what I like about what Leto did is that he didn't try to emulate them at all. He did his own version of the Joker. He's slicker. He's more persuasive. He's different. He's just totally different. I like that he looks different, sounds different, moves different. he's not like them. And it's like people can't handle that. But if he had tried to actually copy what Heath Ledger had done, they would have complained about that too. Yeah, they would have complained about it. So it's like it was a no-win situation for him. But for me, it worked. I loved his Joker. And I thought that he was in the movie just enough.
Yeah,
I've seen other complaints. Oh, Joker's barely in it. Well, he's not barely. He's not barely in it. He's in it just enough, and he's a big factor in the movie in multiple scenes.
He's not barely in it.
He's just not the focus. But nobody who saw the promos for this thought that Joker was part of the Suicide Squad. Like, he was never going to be in the team. Like, right.
They never even tried to hire him.
No shit. They almost showed us another one for the screening, too. Almost made me laugh. I was like, really?
Yeah, we're about to see it. It's okay now.
Like, goddamn.
Hold the trailer. Yeah. But no, they managed to at least have some surprises in there. And, yeah. And they definitely never framed it like they were going to be Joker's joining the squad to give him a little boost of craziness. But yeah, I thought they used him perfect because it made you want to see more.
Yeah.
And I actually liked it. He had kind of a sort of kind of heroic story arc in this one where he's not totally being selfish, like he's doing something for someone else in it. And I liked how that played out throughout the movie. Like, he was kind of more heroic in the, I'm not going to let this stop me. I want to keep going to get my goal, which is cool. And
Well, only for her.
Well, I didn't want to
say only for Harley Quinn. Huh?
Yeah. That's because she was so overly sexualized.
Well, I like the way that they portrayed their relationship. Everybody knows their relationship. And I think they handled it very, very well in the movie. But I see your
point,
though.
Hey, did you catch that little Easter egg in there? Like in that part where they were doing the character summations, where they were explaining who everybody was, and they were doing like their,
Now you got to tell me what it was. I don't care. You can spoil it. Go ahead.
Okay. So when they were doing Harley Quinn's and they were running through all her stuff, they put accomplice to the murder of Robin.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. Because, you know, one of the rumors early on was that this was that Leto's Joker was Jason Todd, who had been corrupted
and
became Joker.
That was a rumor that was
I'm
never going to
happen.
I'm
glad that didn't happen. And
that was a terrible rumor.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. So I'm wondering if we're going to see how that plays out in the Affleck Batman movie.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, oh, okay.
I mean, we always kind of, we knew that it was Joker who ended up killing Robin. We didn't know that Harley Quinn was involved, though. So that's
which I thought was a neat twist on it.
That is a neat twist. So I mean, look, overall, I gave this movie, in my review, I gave it a 3 out of 5. I thought it was fair. I thought it was enjoyable, but I got a lot of issues with it. In particular, like I said, the villain was atrocious. CGI is bad. CGI is bad.
Wait. I gotta defend. I read your review. Now I gotta have a bone with you on that part. Now we're in total agreement on those terrible grunt villains. But I actually liked the CGI in the final battle. I thought that played out really nice, and I liked how they were, you know, dancing around in the rain, doing their thing. And yeah, I liked how that played out. But yeah, those villains are awful.
Well,
but you Enchantress just didn't like it overall.
Enchantress was a bad villain.
Are you talking about the belly dancer?
Given any reason to care. Yes, Enchantress, Cara Delevingne's character.
No, I'm joking, because that's all she did was was just shaking.
Oh yeah, that's what I said. All she did was gyrate while the world engine thing was going on.
Wait, the world engine's property of Krypton.
I know that, but it was essentially the same. It was essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was doing the same thing. It was doing the same thing.
on a very weaker scale.
She just didn't have anything to do in the movie. She had no motivation that we would care about. Her connection to Rick Flag by Joel Kinnaman was not established enough for me to care. Her relationship with her sibling brother did not matter at all. It was just nothing to it at all. I think she's one of the worst villains that we've seen in a comic book movie ever. I can't think of one that's worse.
Oh man. Venom?
I can't think of one that's
worse. Venom?
In modern times, I can't think of one that's worse.
Oh, okay. Apocalypse
is better than her. At least he spent an entire movie gathering his forces. She didn't even do that.
Why did he need those forces? Because they needed them because the comic book had them? Gosh,
he was dunking dudes' heads off in the beginning when
he didn't have any power.
Okay, for Apocalypse, the reason why he gathers his forces is a warship thing. It's as much about that as anything else, because he sees himself as a god, so he always has his worshipper, his closest worshippers around him. So that's why he does it. It makes sense for why he does that. But there's no reason for anything that Enchantress does, at least nothing that I found to be worth caring about. So.
I like the Mandarin.
I like Trevor Slattery. I thought he was hilarious. I thought that was a funny play on what our expectations for the Mandarin was. I love that. I did not need him to be the Mandarin we thought we was going to be in the comics. Shit, we can get that Mandarin later on if we want to. I like that there was a different villain behind everything. I like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is Juggernaut modern?
But he's not the main villain. He's just another guy running around in a bad suit. I'm talking main villain.
Very bad one.
All right. Main villain. The only one that would even come remotely close would be like Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2, and even he's better than her.
Nah, he's better.
Yeah.
I never understood the hate on Iron Man 2, but wow.
I'm perfectly fine. I'm perfectly fine with Iron Man 2. But there's no reason to like Enchantress or care about anything that she's doing. In fact, the movie doesn't really seem to care much about what she's doing either. So,
dude, but I was upset that they were in Midway City and we didn't get another Justice League cameo. What's the point of being here? Hawkman.
Oh, well, I mean, come on now.
That's the stomping ground, the flying ground. So what's the deal? I just want a little reference. That museum exhibit curated by Carter Hall. That's all I needed.
You might not ever see him in a Warner Brothers movie.
They put him in Smallville and Arrow.
That's all right. You don't need to see him. He's not interesting anyway.
He's got a mace.
Yeah, no thanks. He's too fucking complicated.
He hangs with Superman and flies a mace.
He's way too complicated.
This is their movie. They can make him as uncomplicated as they need to.
No, they don't. They
he flies.
Do that. All right. That's okay. Yeah, that's about it. Let's take a quick break. When you and I come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the reactions to Suicide Squad, because I find them funny. We'll be right back.
Kill me, Mr. J.
What?
I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just gonna hurt you. Really, really bad.
I'm sorry. And we are back. That was music from Suicide Squad, and thank you, Warner Brothers, for sending me for the soundtrack for this. I appreciate it. And that was also a clip from the film featuring Joker and Harley Quinn. All right. So, Jeff Lyles of Lyles Movie Files is with me. In the last 10 minutes since I checked it, Suicide Squad has fallen to 31%. It's on Rotten Tomatoes now.
Jeez.
It was higher than that.
You can only do so much, people. Not our fault.
No. It's like, come on, man. It is not going well. I think at this point it's lower than Batman vs. Superman on Rotten Tomatoes. I think so.
That
let me check.
I know.
What is it at? Oh no, Batman vs Superman is still at 27%. So, this is kind of ridiculous to me that these movies can be ranked so low. There's no way. Now look, the critical consensus is always lower than the audience, because the audience for Batman vs Superman still have given it a 65%, which ain't that bad.
75% for Man of Steel with audience. Man of Steel is the best one, and it has 55% with critics. It's 75% with audiences.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the critical reviews are always less, it seems, at least when it comes to Warner Brothers. And I feel like at this point, I feel like we're gonna reach the point where Warner Brothers just stops screening their movies. They're just going to be like, fuck you. Because critics have started to have it out for Warner Brothers. And I don't say this, you know, I don't take this lightly. I don't say this lightly. But I do feel like there has the tide has turned on Warner Brothers with critics, and now they're looking to hammer these movies as badly as possible, it seems now. Because there's no way this movie is a 31%, at least in my opinion. And that's looking at it objectively. It's not 31%. There's no way Batman vs Superman is a 27%. These things don't make any kind of logical sense to me. I don't understand why critics are acting this way. Is it just, and maybe you can answer this, is it just that there's such a love for Marvel that they feel like they need to kind of stamp down their major competition with Warner Brothers? You think
Team
so?
Marvel versus hashtag Team DC. Here's something else
that's such a fanboy thing. That's such a thing that like I used to do back in the day when I was a kid. Like, oh, I like the X-Men, man. Fuck the Justice League. But now you think you'd be over that.
Here's some perspective. Green Lantern's at 26%.
Oof. Yeah, come on.
Batman Forever's at 40. All right. All is still right with the world. Catwoman is still the lowest at 9%. Nice.
Oh, well, that's good then. All right. So let me look at some of these quotes later on. Looking at some of the quotes on Rotten Tomatoes, kind of funny. Here's some loser named Jeff Lyles who says it didn't need to be anything more than fun and entertaining entry. Oh wait, okay, no, that was a good one. That's a positive one. Okay, what's the negative one?
You had to search to find one, didn't you?
There are a handful on the front page. I'm not on the front page. Which is, you know, let's see.
When you put it on.
Yeah, the filmmaker. Yeah, I put mine on really early this morning. The filmmaker and studio's inexplicable decision to construct a building without first laying a foundation was self-evidently a bad one. I don't know what that even means.
Wow.
I really don't even know what that means. First laying a foundation was self-evidently a bad one. Okay.
Aren't you supposed to lay a foundation when you build something?
I don't know. I mean, well, you said they didn't first lay a foundation.
Really? I mean, that was a whole first hour.
I don't know what that means. And here's a brilliant one from Christy LeMire, who I never really liked. It's massive, messy, and noisy, and it stinks. Well, what? That's a brilliant analysis right there.
If there was like the anti-box cover, that would be one.
I mean, what does that even? That's not. You can apply that to any movie. What specifically about this movie? I mean, come on now.
It's noisy. That summer movie's noisy.
I know. And, you know what? Honestly, my least favorite criticism of any movie, and this goes for even like the Michael Bay Transformers movies, which I don't like, and you know that I don't like those movies. But I hate the criticism that they're noisy. What the fuck does it even mean? Yeah. It's a big blockbuster movie with explosions and fight scenes. Well, yeah, if you're in a movie in a multiplex in a IMAX, it's going to be noisy. I don't understand. I don't understand that criticism. So,
yeah, especially Michael Bay movies.
I don't know. Yeah.
All right, so Dark of the Moon anyway. Transformers is higher than Suicide Squad. It's at 35%. Something is wrong.
Ugh.
Very wrong. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, people. Ugh.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it. But
I feel like
you know,
people
go
in with these DC movies looking to like, all right, we didn't like we don't like the way that they're putting this together. It's not the Marvel way. So let's trash it because they're not doing this.
They're
the
not
right
doing
way.
What Marvel's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I mentioned that in my review. I don't like it when people I hate when people complain that the movies are too dark. You know, I mean, it's like I don't want them to do what Marvel does. I don't want them to do exactly what Marvel does. I want them to do what they want to do. I want them to do something different. You know, but people don't seem to accept that. And, you know, having watched the entire Marvel Universe like two or three times now, it's not all roses all the way through that. It's not all good. It's not all good.
And what's your low point on that? Since you liked Mandarin, that's always my
low
point.
The lowest point for Marvel is in the beginning. I mean, I honestly never was a huge fan of Iron Man. It's okay. I don't dislike any of the Marvel movies, but there are a lot of them that I feel are just okay, and a few that are amazing. So, but it's like, to me, it starts off really weak, like Iron Man, and then it's the Incredible Hulk, and those are like two just kind of average movies to me. They're kind of fun, but they're pretty average. Iron Man 2 is pretty average, you know. And then you get into Thor and Captain America, which are both very average, in my opinion.
Oh, man.
That whole first phase is kind of mediocre. I mean, they're not bad, but there's nothing memorable about any of those movies to me. Like, none of them. It doesn't get – Marvel doesn't hit its stride for me until the Avengers. And then it's like something clicked. And that's when it's like, okay. And then from there on, they've been rolling. But before that – they are no better than Warner Brothers to me. They were trying
this Kool-Aid, and you said, no, thank you, sir.
They're trying to feel their way. I mean, you can just tell that they're trying to figure out how this universe thing is going to work. And it took them some movies to figure it out. I mean, you can, if you look at all their post-credit scenes, some of them don't make any sense. Like, they don't connect. You know, it's like, okay, it's like you can tell they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants a little bit. And that's understandable. I understand that. Like, that didn't make me hate Marvel or anything that they're doing. Because I could see they're still figuring this thing out. And I feel like Warner Brothers is still in that phase of trying to figure it out. Now, the problem is Marvel was like 10 movies deep by the time Warner Brothers got off the ground with Man of Steel. So people
are
like,
that was a real problem.
Why aren't you instantly like Marvel? It's like, that's not the way it works. Not the way it goes.
That whole Green Lantern franchise that was going to be the foundation didn't quite set the world on fire.
Right. That fucked them up bad. I mean, it really did mess them up bad.
That was going to be their big thing.
Yeah. People just don't know. That whole Green Lantern exercise really, really hurt them. It's not as simple as just, oh, well, we'll just start over. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to totally rethink an entire vision, but the hardest part is changing perceptions, because people look at Green Lantern and all they think about is, this movie stinks, I don't want to see anymore. That hurts.
That's the reason he's not in a Green He's not that Justice League poster.
Yeah, that's why you're not going to see his ass until like 2020.
That's good. That's good job for you, Hal. See you later, buddy.
That's the setbacks like that are a big deal. If they could have convinced Christopher Nolan to be like, man, could you please just make your movie, could, you know, part of our universe, please? That would have solved a lot of problems. But but Nolan was like, nah, my thing is standalone, y'all.
He was nah, bro, I'm good.
And he's like, yeah.
This growly voice Batman is all mine.
He's like, nah, you guys go do your thing over there.
I'm good,
my
man.
Thing is okay. But that stuff hurts them, and Marvel just has such a lead on them that people can't, you know, they can't give Warner Brothers the space to grow.
Mm-hmm.
They can't have it, and I think that kind of stuff is unfair. And I don't know if they'll ever get past it. I mean, I don't know if there'll ever be a movie. I guess the next best shot is Wonder Woman, because people seem to be legitimately excited for that. But then again, people were legitimately excited for Suicide Squad. So, but then again,
I feel like they're going to have to be PC correct. You know, how, like you mentioned, they're going to have to follow the momentum train where it's normal to bash the DC stuff. They can't go and line up and take shots at Wonder Woman because, well, this is a DC movie, but how does it look if we bash a female superhero movie? I mean, this is going to be the first one in, you know, forever. So I think they're going to have to just eat it. And I think Wonder Woman is going to be the breakout hit that they want one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the critics.
That's a good point, though. That's a good point. And maybe I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here when it comes to Suicide Squad, because it's projected to make maybe about $140 million this week, which is a really good start. It doesn't need to be as big of a hit as Batman vs. Superman and Wayne Steel needed to be, because I don't think it costs quite as much.
He has Captain Boomerang, Katana, and El Diablo.
Exactly.
$140 is good for a total gross. So even if they make $20 million the rest of the way, they're good.
Let me take that back, because Suicide Squad costs $175 million, so I take that back. It does need to be a hit, but $140 million is still a really good start if that's what it makes. It's really good, but it might be another situation where you know, the critic reviews are shitty, but the audiences really like it, and you know, the problem is with that. Is that the critic side of things always wins out in the discussion.
Yeah.
Like, you never hear anybody talk about, well, Batman vs. Superman has 65% Rotten Tomatoes from the fans. No one ever says that. Those words have never come out of any analyst's mouth ever about that movie. It's always, let's talk about that 31% Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's talk about those guys who saw it for free.
Exactly. Let's talk about the 31% from the people who didn't pay for the shit. Not the 65% of the people
their
who
voice means
did
more.
Pay.
Yeah. As someone who went to pay to see Man of Steel the second time and Batman vs. Superman, I can talk. So, yeah. It's ridiculous. Crazy.
It's crazy. And I'm hoping I'll probably get a chance to see Suicide Squad again soon. Is it on IMAX? It's on IMAX, isn't it?
I thought so. It's Warner's 10th, dude. Let me check
it
real fast. Warner's pretty much makes a point, too.
I'm just seeing if it's at the Uvar Hazy IMAX. Because if it is, I want to go this week. Let me check Friday. Yep, it is.
Oh, yeah. They don't let that IMAX money slip by.
Oh, hell no. Suicide Squad, an IMAX 3D experience. Yes. Now, I would love to see that on IMAX.
3D.
That would be interesting.
I'm curious what the 3D would look like.
Me too. I am too. That's an interesting poster they have up for it, too. I've never seen that one with the bowl of cereal. Huh. I've never seen that poster.
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't miss that one. Okay.
Because like the trailer, they released 20 different posters.
Yes. The press tour for Suicide Squad has been hella annoying. just a new trailer every other day. My legitimate concern was that there wasn't going to be anything left to see. And it's like, what was there going to be new? But they actually did a pretty good job of keeping a lot of it secret. I think what they did was they showed a lot, but it was all from like the same basic general footage, like the same time period. Kind of like how they do with Deadpool, where there were like a dozen trailers for that, but it was all of them on the street.
Don't worry, we're not spoiling much.
Yeah. So, and if anybody's going to see Suicide Squad this weekend, be sure you stick around through the credits because there is something that happens. Although I have to admit, I felt like that post-credit scene was pretty. They could have left it out. It didn't do anything for me.
Because of the people involved, I liked it, and I liked how one person knew another person's deal. I liked that, I thought that was one of the concessions DC Warner made, where it's like, all right, y'all expect these post-credit scenes, we'll do it with a character that y'all seem to like, and so we can test the waters for later. I like that, because it's just become, you know, Marvel's made that such a event for these comic book movies. It has to end with some sort of post-credit scene, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing for Warner or DC to do with theirs. They can flesh them out and make them better as they go along, but that's a cool little teaser, like the cliffhanger, hey, more coming.
Yeah, no, I understand why they did it, and they hadn't done any post-credits things for Man of Steel or Batman or Superman. So it, you know, I understand why they did it. It's just that when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, I don't know. It didn't feel like
I stayed for this.
It just didn't feel like it adds anything, you know, like it was like, okay. So these two people, and we don't want to spoil it, I guess. These two people know each other's deal. But then again, the guy says something interesting that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he's looking for certain people, but then he says, my friends and I. And I'm like, what friends? Who, what? Who are you talking about?
He's talking about the one friend he already met.
But that's one friend, though, not friends, plural.
No, man. He's saying he and his super friends, get it, are going to take care of stuff.
Was super friends meant to be a pun?
It was. It so was.
Okay.
Because, you know, sadly, there's a generation that will not get that anymore.
That has no idea. Yeah, you're right.
Think about that.
That is sad.
Crazy.
That's
awful. Are you talking about Teen Titans Go? No.
Oh, man. So I'm very curious to see. I'm very curious to see what this movie ends up doing in the long run. I have high expectations that it will do well. I hope people don't just pay attention to the critics, because one of the things that really disturbed me, and we're running out of time on the show, I actually got 6 minutes left. A friend of mine posted a review from IndieWire, and you know, and it got a bunch of responses from people, because it was a negative review by David Ehrlich, who I don't really like either. But it got a
who
bunch
do you
of
like?
Not very many people, honestly, and certain and fewer critics. I don't like many people, and critics, there's even fewer of them that I like. But it was a negative review, and all the comments were people basically agreeing with them, even though none of them had seen the movie. And that's the thing that I think disturbs me. So when you get this story out there that people have started a petition against Rotten Tomatoes because of its influence, you know, its influence, especially when it comes to these Warner Brothers movies, I kind of understood it, even though I don't agree with starting a petition to shut down Rotten Tomatoes because that's fucking stupid.
Petitions online always work.
Yeah, I know. They're binding, of course.
It's got 100% success rate.
But I understand when they say that it has this influence on people, and it's true. When it comes to certain kinds of movies, not all movies, but certain kinds of movies, if there's a movie like there, if it's Captain America, people are going to go see it no matter what we say. But if there's a movie that people have questions about, that, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to go see this or not, I don't know, that's when our influence comes in. So when people have doubts about Warner Brothers after two movies that have been so-so, So Suicide Squad comes out, and you get all these negative reviews, and people just go to Rotten Tomatoes, look at the score, and then that's it. And that's how they judge it. And that, to me, is really, really sad. That because even growing up, I was never like that. You know, I would listen to a review from a critic or whatever, and then I would go see the movie and judge for myself. But people don't do that anymore. They just go to Rotten Tomatoes, glance at the score. They'll just go to Rotten Tomatoes, see the 31%, and decide they're going to go see something else. And that's, to me, that's, I don't know, that really distresses me. That I really, really hate it that people are like that. But I see too much evidence of that fact. And I worry that people are going to do that with Suicide Squad. They're going to go see it this weekend because they probably pre-ordered their tickets. And then that'll be it. That'll be the end of it. And it'll fall off the face of the earth the same way Batman and Superman did.
But you know, the one thing working in Suicide Squad's favor, Batman versus Superman
Margot
had a lot of people
Robbie.
Going.
Oh,
well, yes. That is, like, always. But this, it's August, and August is a cinematic wasteland for anything that the summer blockbuster crowd really wants to see. There's no Expendables 4 coming out, so they've got August pretty much to themselves. And they don't have a lot of competition, so they could probably just hold on. You know, with Bourne not holding on to the number one spot, I don't see that coming back, and that's pretty much the only thing that people would want to see. Star Trek had a really serious drop its second weekend. There's nothing coming after this weekend.
But I think you're underestimating the potential strength of Pete's Dragon next week, and I'm being dead serious.
That's not necessarily the kit, the comic book movie blockbuster crowd.
Yeah, but
I think that'll be fine. But I mean,
like
Suicide Squad's in a different group. I will definitely be wrong on that one. Yeah. But again, those are two different kind of movies.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Suicide Squad's the last great action movie, you know, for the summer.
Yeah.
So
unless
one
people
last
go see Hell or High Water. Unless people go see Hell or High Water, which people, you absolutely should go see Hell or High Water because it's amazing. But that doesn't come out until next week. But yeah, go see Suicide Squad this weekend and judge it for yourself.
Go
don't
see it
just
next
look
weekend.
At the front. If you like it, go see it again. Go see it in IMAX because that's what I intend to do. Jeff, we only got 90 seconds left on the show. Jeff Lyles, tell everybody where they can find you real quick before we get out of here.
Check out my stuff at lylesmoviefiles.com. Follow me on Twitter at lylesmoviefiles and on Facebook. Lyles Movie Files has its own dedicated page. Thank you.
All right. Did you drop out of Daily DDT?
I did. I was tired of writing just about WWE. It's like, fine.
You can write about TNA. All right, man. Thanks for coming on, man.
I always
appreciate you coming on, man. We will talk again soon. We'll probably talk some more about Warner Brothers and their DC movies, okay?
All right, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. That was Jeff Lyles of Lyles Movie Files. We are running out of time here. It is time to get out of here. So I want to thank all of you for joining me on this week's show. This has been Cinema Royale. Watch out for my interview with Logan Lerman. It should be up tomorrow, Thursday. So watch out for that, okay? I will see you next week. Goodbye.